Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We are so excited to be with you today. We have a very encouraging program for you. We're just so honored that you'd invite us into your homes or wherever you watch VFN TV or listen to us on the radio. We're honored to have this conversation with you every day, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time here on the Gulf Coast. I want to introduce and welcome Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, man, you're looking good.
Thank you. So are you?
When you feel good and look good, man, you got to do good. Right?
Right. You're right.
All right.
Sounds good.
I'm going to ask you about
that
later today.
It is a nice haircut.
Well, let's not go there. We hit that one the other day.
Yeah, we wore that
one out.
And
Steve Kolesheski.
Hello, sir.
Hello. No good day, but we'll take hello. We are excited because we're going to be talking about several things. Stay with us. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. And if ever you miss a program, go to VFNTV.com and you can get all caught up on the program. But today we're going to be discussing a petition that was sent to the White House. You know, they've set up this website where citizens were able to connect and be able to, you know, share some things that they want to. And if you had enough signatures, then the White House would actually take a look at whatever it is the petition was about, and then they would come together and make some sort of decision. Well, we're going to talk about a petition that was signed to label the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, as a terrorist group, and we're going to let you know what the conclusion was regarding that. Interesting. Also, we talked in previous programs about how many of the soldiers now are feeling intimidated about being able to share their faith. Mm-hmm. And these are our, you know, men and women who are defending and protecting us, and they're feeling intimidated. These are soldiers.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear from an admiral in the Coast Guard and his thoughts regarding sharing the military being able to share their faith and on being able to read their Bibles. You don't want to miss that. We're also going to be talking about, and you're going to see, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his wife send their son off as he just enlisted and just doing his tour in the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, and it was just a touching moment. You don't want to miss it. We do want to pray for him in particular, and we'll have his name for you because I know you want to pray for him as well. We want to pray for his safety, but that's just an exciting, exciting thing that's happening and a great opportunity for that young man to be able to serve his country, and I'm sure he'll do well. He has big shoes to fill with his dad being prime minister, but I'm sure he'll do a great job. And we're also going to be talking about, in this program, the new way of living. You know, I don't know if you heard it before, but, you know, when we give our lives to Christ, to Jesus Christ, there's an expectation. We're coming into a relationship. The Bible says that, you know, if any man, if any woman gives your life in Christ, you know, old things pass away and behold, all things become new.
Amen.
And there's a transition, a transformation that takes place in our hearts, in our minds, and in our actions. And the Lord provides us with a new way of living. And we're going to talk about that in more detail because it seems like today, if you hang around a little bit, there is no expectation for a new way of living. It's, you know, add Jesus to my life and maybe it gets better, but not a new way. And it's important that we understand and recognize that God didn't call us to get an upgrade. He's called us to be transformed. We're giving our lives to him. And he's going to do what he wants with our lives. It's just our job to cooperate and to be in unity and to walk with our master and with our Savior. And listen, anything that God has or does, rest assured, it is good. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to calculate. Listen, if God's in charge, it's all going to work out in the end. And it's going to be real good. But I want to talk about this because this is so important. This petition, and this was available, I believe, on whitehouse.gov. It's called We the People. And any citizen around the country could go ahead and put a petition in so that, you know, anything they want the White House to take a look at. Mm-hmm. Well, the required, and this is the Blaze reporting this, by the way, the required amount in order for the White House to take a look at it, you needed at least 100,000 signatures. 100. Mm-hmm. Once it reached that benchmark, then I guess the government felt that that was, you know, enough of a consensus to say, hey, enough people are concerned about this. We need to take a look at whatever this issue may be. Well, in regards to labeling and declaring the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group, they not only received 100,000 signatures, but they received 213,146 signatures, twice, double the amount. And the answer from the White House was no. No, they would not declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group or organization.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Wish I was, but I'm not. But this is important to understand because this is something that we've kind of been sharing already here on VFN radio program and the VFN TV program. And by the way, I don't necessarily recommend that you, you know, put your information in these websites, you know, because you're putting your name, your email address, all these different things, and it's like, you know, is it really being set up to hear Americans' concerns so that they can be addressed, or, you know, is there something else going on? You know, and it's something that we need to think about and consider and just say, But it's important that we go into a little bit more detail and talk about who is the Muslim Brotherhood, because you can receive so much kind of information in the air, but if you don't kind of, you know, understand and pause for a moment, you know, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And if you remember, and we've talked about this before, but you may be just joining in, tuning in, or you may have even forgotten, but, you know, the president, President Obama, went to Egypt. His first international speech was in Cairo University, in Cairo, Egypt, when the president then at the time was Mubarak. And he wasn't even invited to this speech. The president of Egypt wasn't invited to the speech.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, you got to understand that when the president travels to another country, the president of the United States, like everything stops. You know,
when
the most powerful man in the free world, well, according to Forbes, that's Putin now for the last 2 years. When the
free world?
Okay. Yes. When the most powerful man, let's just say that, from the most powerful country shows up, I think that everything stops.
Right.
And there's many countries that the president, Air Force One, never lands, you know, never touches base. And so you would think that that's a big deal, but he didn't come being the president, Hosni Mubarak. He didn't come because the Muslim Brotherhood was going to be there. And the president empowered those, you know, folks to come on in. And really interesting, the things that occurred after that, because then, you know, he left, the speech was over with. And if you remember that it was in that speech that he said that he felt it was his responsibility, and I'm paraphrasing, but we have all this related for you on the torch in detail, that it was his responsibility to defend negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they may be exist. And as a president of the United States, that's not necessarily his responsibility. His responsibility is to defend the Constitution, keep America safe, protect our borders. Maybe as an individual, he can feel that, but not as the president of the United States. And so shortly after that, there was an uprising. I mean, go figure. Now, you understand that Mubarak was, you know, there for quite, I mean, we're talking about decades, I believe almost 40 years, but decades there as the president, the leader of Egypt. And all of a sudden, I mean, out of nowhere, there's an uprising. And lo and behold, there's an election. And guess who's in power? The Muslim Brotherhood. Just things that make you go, you know. So they're in power, and then because President Morsi was elected. Now, what was interesting, in just that 1 year of being elected, some really serious things happened in Egypt. One of the things that happened is all the Coptic Christians were being attacked. They were being persecuted. Their church buildings were being torched and lit on fire. And during that process, the Egyptian constitution was actually suspended. They suspended the Egyptian constitution. And again, just things that just make you go, And they were trying to implement some sort of, you know, like Sharia law and trying to get that passed. Well, on the 1 year anniversary to the date, we're giving you context because you understand that, that the White House just said no after receiving 215,000 signatures from American citizens, double the amount of required signatures for this situation to be looked at. They said no, they would not declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. And we're just looking at what has happened and what has transpired. So a year to the date that Morsi was elected, which is a Muslim Brotherhood representative, to office, Egyptians show up, I mean, in massive, massive numbers. I believe, and reportedly, it has been the largest demonstrations ever to get the Muslim Brotherhood out of office. And if you remember during those times, and we've covered this on VFN TV, they were holding signs not supportive of our president. They were saying that we like the United States, but President Obama, you know, is supporting terrorism, you know, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, where did that come from? And what happened here? And
the dots connect.
And yeah, like what's going on?
See that.
And this is just with the Egyptian people. We're not in front. This is what they said. This is their signs. This is easily identifiable and researched. I mean, it's there. This is what they did. And these were their words. And so, you know, Morsi was removed, and now they had a new president and things of that nature, you know, continued to develop, and it, you know, took back their nation. But it's really interesting because when you look at that and you say, what happened? It's not just Egyptians that are saying this. It's not just ordinary citizens that are concerned. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear from a congresswoman who raised these same concerns some years ago. It's not just 215,000 ordinary citizens that you may want to dismiss, which you can't because this is a country of we the people, and we elect representatives to represent us, so their voice does matter and does count. But we're going to let you hear from a congresswoman about her thoughts regarding the Muslim Brotherhood and who they really are. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Student rights and prayer. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a senior in high school, and they have a prayer group that meets at school, and the school is not letting them have this prayer meeting inside the building.
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. They should have the right to meet in the building before the beginning of the school day. They have the right to pray. But there is nothing in the Constitution or in our court's opinions that prohibit prayer before, after, or during the school day. Here you're before the school day. I'm sure they allow other groups to meet before. The students are allowed to come in. You're not requiring participation. It's student-led and student-initiated. It's met all the criteria that the Supreme Court has said are the requirements for allowance of unequal access. That's what this is. You hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help.
Learn more about student rights and the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back to VFN TV. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and our producer is doing, I'll tell you what, he's doing a fabulous job. I like that during this time of the year.
Working it, man.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Keeping us focused. But, you know, we were talking before the break about the Muslim Brotherhood, about this petition that was signed by citizens, your fellow countrymen, your neighbor, your maybe your boss, your employer, your colleague, you know, your family member, the benchmark for these petitions to be looked at, which the White House did set up. They wanted to hear we the people. They wanted to hear your voice. And the threshold was 100,000 signatures. And if whatever your concern was, if it received mm-hmm. that benchmark, that it crossed that threshold, then they would take a look at it. They mm-hmm. would see, okay, this merits or warrants enough, there's enough folks signing on, some things are happening here, that we'll take a look at it. Well, they had over 215,000 signatures, mm-hmm. double what was required. And what they wanted to do there was to be able to acknowledge and, put on notice
yeah.
that declare the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group, as a terrorist organization. And the White House came back and said, no, they wow. will not, no. And so we've been kind of given the history a little bit of just the Muslim Brotherhood, of what they've been doing and what's been going on. But it's not just the citizens, it's not just what happened in Egypt. But, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, she raised some concerns not too long ago regarding the Muslim Brotherhood mm-hmm. and Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State's assistant, Uma, whose father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and whose mother was reportedly a member of the sisterhood. Her father allegedly has passed away and is no longer alive. But Michelle Bachmann's concern, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's concern was, has this person been vetted? Have they been vetted at all? And the truth is that she says, no, they haven't been vetted. Uma has not been vetted, and she didn't understand that because she's a congresswoman. She has to be vetted. Mm-hmm. Her family has to be vetted. They need to know, who she is, who you're related to, what's going on in your family, what ties do you have, because mm-hmm. you're going to have access to government things, mm-hmm. government documents. I mean, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at that time is recorded as the most traveled Secretary of State, and she went to Egypt, Middle East, and all these countries, and right alongside of her was Uma, her assistant. Mm-hmm. And so these are some concerns. Well, we continue, get my notes up here, and we continue that with Michelle Bachmann, what she wrote on her own website, and this was back some time ago. We're going to make sure that this is related for you, but this was posted on her website December 18th, 2013, so almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. This is what Michelle Bachmann put on her website. This is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, former presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann, and this is what she wrote. In October 2003, the former counterterrorism czar for both President Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, Richard Clark, testified before the U.S. Senate that virtually every Islamic terrorist organization in the world had in common membership and inspiration from the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. Not only has virtually every leader of Al-Qaeda passed through the ranks of the Muslim Brotherhood, but several of the 9/11 hijackers, including ringleader Mohammed Atta, known to have been radicalized through the Brotherhood.
Wow.
I mean, this is on her website. We've made this related so that you can look at. But this is Richard Clark, who testified. This is the counterterrorism czar. I would think that the counterterrorism czar, I think that his statements would be probably credible mm-hmm. under both administrations, George W. Bush and President Bill Clinton.
Right.
And that was what he was able to surmise from the information. That was what he was be able to tell. And yet, our government does not want to label the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. These things are important for us to know. They're important for us to be aware of what's happening right in front of us. And we can't walk around with our heads buried in the sand. We have a short video we want you to see. It's about the Muslim Brotherhood 101. And it'll give you a little bit more context to who they are. And it still raises the question, why won't the government, why won't the White House declare it as a terrorist organization? Watch this.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad.
There you have it. Again, I want to be able to read to you Michelle Bachmann's, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, former presidential candidate's statement that she made available December 18, 2013, this is a year ago, regarding the Muslim Brotherhood. And she writes, in October 2003, the former counterterrorism czar for both President Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, Richard Clark, testified that before the U.S. Senate that virtually every Islamic terrorist organization in the world had in common membership and inspiration from the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. Not only has virtually every leader of Al-Qaeda passed through the ranks of the Muslim Brotherhood, but several of the 911 hijackers, including ringleader Mohammed Atta, were known to have been radicalized through the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, this is a very serious thing. And when you think about this, when you think about this, you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went to Egypt and they tried to broker this, you know, peace deal, and and Morsi was elected, who was a Muslim Brotherhood, representative, and now he became the president. You know, don't forget that the Muslim Brotherhood, reportedly Hamas is their military arm. And they're the ones who, by the way, have attacked Israel with over 10,000 rockets since 2005. And up until this year have recently begun to do the same thing. This has not stopped. And what was interesting in recent remarks by the president of Turkey, Erdogan, And the Washington Post is reporting this, that he just said that women are not equal to men. Women are not equal to men. They shouldn't be in these high positions. Wow. And it's just go, how could anyone support this type of ideology? How could anyone be behind this thing? Listen, keep your eyes on Israel. Don't forget that Hamas reportedly is the military, you know, arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And they basically do, if you will, the dirty work. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are want their, you know, position there at Gaza. And they're the ones that really want to take Israel out. They're the ones that created these underground tunnels. They're the ones that had a plan, mm-hmm. you know, Yom Kippur, to strap bombs on themselves and be able to come up underground in Israel and do, you know, jihad basically on Israelis. We must be aware, we must be alert, and we must continue to pray, not only for our country, we must continue to pray for Christians in our country and around the world, and we must continue to pray for Israel, the apple of God's eye. Listen, this is not over, but if we stay vigilant and prayerful, God will continue to give us strategy and wisdom, and He will thwart all the plans of the enemy. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something, and we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sir, that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about just some things are just happening right now at the moment. And if you remember, we discussed on VFN TV about how soldiers were feeling intimidated about sharing their faith in the military branches. And if, you know, no one should feel intimidated, no matter where they work or live, to be able to express their faith in the Lord. But, you know, as a citizen, you have rights. You know, anyone could express any faith, you know, because you have rights as a citizen, freedom mm-hmm. of speech, and to pursue religion and a relationship with God. I mean, freedom. And recently, according to BuzzPro, the president has ordered military not to hand out Bibles. On top of them feeling intimidated, this is what the BuzzPro is reporting. I want to make sure that this is related for you. But there, this is what's being discussed, that the Obama administration is ordering soldiers not to hand out Bibles to those in need, even those who are contemplating suicide. Rather, soldiers must send them to the chaplain. Now, you know that in the military, they have all sorts of chaplains. I mean, they have Wiccans. I mean, all sorts of chaplains. But at the 62nd National Day of Prayer observance in Washington, D.C., the United States Coast Guard Rear Admiral William Lee proclaimed that no matter what the government may order, he will continue to share Bibles with his soldiers whenever needed. Listen, this admiral, Mr. William Lee, Rear Admiral, I mean, we salute you. I mean, that is awesome to be able to care more about God and your relationship with the Lord than anything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes a point in life mm-hmm. where you're going to need to, you know, stay and stand. You know, we've heard it said, even if it stinks for you, it may sting for you. May cost you loss of job, loss of position. It may cost you. But believe me, it won't cost you in the throne room of heaven. It won't cost mm-hmm. you when you look into the eyes of Jesus. And I see so many people wavering. I see so many people these days just, you know, not mm-hmm. wanting to stir anything up. You know, my religion is a private thing. I don't know. Jesus died publicly. Publicly, Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for us to hide around in a corner. I want you to hear the admiral for yourself and what he had to say, and may his words inspire you. Watch this.
Right now, as we speak, leaders like myself are feeling the constraints of rules and regulations and guidance issued down by lawyers, and that puts us in a tighter and tighter box regarding our constitutional right to express our religious faith. As one general so aptly put it, they expect us to check our religion in at the door. Don't bring that here. Leave that business to the chaplains. I'm here to tell you there's not enough chaplains to go around. And who can tell that young man who is downtrodden and on his last legs, who has no hope, to go make an appointment to see the chaplain? Go get in line and wait when the opportunity right now exists. Yet if I do something, such as I did just several weeks ago when I was looking into the face of a young man, 20-some years old, who had 18 months before put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger and survived. When I looked at that young man and I heard his story, the rules say, send him to the chaplain. My heart said, give this man a Bible.
Powerful.
Wow.
Give Beautiful. That man a Bible. We need to pray mm-hmm. for our military personnel. You just heard from Coast Guard Rear Admiral William Lee, and he's telling you firsthand, one that is pretty high in leadership there, telling you that this is what's being handed down to them by lawyers, and they're having to make a decision to follow orders or follow their heart. Mm-hmm. And really what they're saying is following God. and you're counseling a soldier who's contemplating suicide,
mm-hmm.
he says, listen, here's a Bible. You need to find God. And Steve, I want you to talk to us and give us a perspective as one who has served us in the military, mm-hmm. as a U.S. Marine, two tours of duty. Talk to us and share with us the importance of anyone in the military, especially someone like your commanding officer, someone of high rank, being able to mm-hmm. share with you not only the Bible, but Christ's testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us from that perspective.
Well, just hearing this, it just really highlights that the power of the church. We are the hands and feet of Christ. It's that is the gift that Jesus provides us. It's not, we don't have to go to the specific whoever. Mm-hmm. We can go to Jesus. We ourselves have a relationship with him. Mm. And I think about in my own personal life, when I was in active duty, when I was in the Marine Corps, even when I was deployed in Fallujah, two of the
most... For those who don't know, where's Fallujah?
It's in Iraq. It's actually it's about 60 miles west of Baghdad. Two of the most significant people that had the most impact in my life before I even knew the Lord was not the chaplain, was not my commanding officer. There was actually the point man in my team. His name was Malachi.
Hmm.
And a guy on the other team that him and I actually went through infantry school together. We went through reconnaissance school together. And his name was Josiah. And I distinctively remember coming home after a specific mission, standing by his rack in tears, thanking him, telling him, I think that you are an angel that God sent. And I didn't even know the Lord. How many times before we left the wire, we would pray.
The wire. You're giving us military terms. Help us out.
Leaving the wire is basically, you know, you're setting up your trucks. You're about to go on a mission. We would be outside the base for 2-3 weeks at a time, sometimes more than a month, out in Iraqi countryside amidst the locals, away from any friendly forces. And I did not even know the Lord. I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I would tell you what, I always ask for prayer. Mm. And like I said, again, the most significant people that had an impact on my life were Christians, were people that were not shy about your faith like you're talking about, that they weren't private Christians. They were bold and they said, hey, you know, this is what I'm reading in my Bible. And I would just watch them read the Bible. Every time I walked past them in their room, they were reading the Bible.
Mm.
They were willing to talk about Jesus. They're willing to pray. And that to this day. When I first gave my life to the Lord, Malachi was the first one I went and tried to reach out to and find. And I found his mom on social media, and I got connected with Malachi. And I told him, I said, I gave my life to the Lord, man. All of those prayers that you did had an impact. But it highlights how important that is to the church. Don't be quiet about your faith. Don't say, go to that man. If you know Jesus Christ, tell others what has happened in your life. Pray for them. Your words matter.
What would you say to someone who has influence, particularly in the military, a commanding officer? This is a rear admiral in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the significance of their leadership and what they're able to communicate in regards to Christ? If they're a believer, what would you say? What kind of impact would they have if they were willing to not necessarily follow orders in this case, or not give out a Bible, but follow their heart.
Yeah.
Follow what God tells
you.
We
look at it in Romans. Romans talks about it, says all authority is established by God. It's like you did not get there on your own. You did not get there because of your college degree. You did not get there because of your, you know, your physical fitness test score or your aptitude test. You got there because God established you. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a beacon of light within you, and God has put you there to be in a place of influence because you're impacting those that are on the front lines, whatever branch that you're in. Stand bold for God. What I heard somebody I'll say before, it's just like when you're just simply present and you decide to make that stand, it's God that's moving through you, and allow the Holy Spirit to use your voice to be his voice. And just say, it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it's by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And watch what God does, because it's God that puts you there.
Wow. Let me tell you, this is so encouraging. I'm thankful for your service and for Malachi and Josiah, faithful
Amen.
Soldiers in the military and faithful soldiers for the Lord. But we have Steve here today in the kingdom of God because of their faithful witness. And I'm thankful for the Rear Admiral, William. My goodness, William Lee, and all of those in military leadership that love the Lord. I mean, I think about General Boykin. You know, those that are serving in the military that love Jesus, we are praying for you. And we encourage our viewing audience, our listening audience around the world, pray for the military. Mm-hmm. Pray that these policies will go away, that this strategy waged really against our soldiers and giving them the opportunity to find Christ and to get counsel and to receive Bibles, that that would go away. I mean, we stick Bibles in hotel rooms. I mean, come on. Every soldier should not only be allowed to have a Bible, but every soldier should be given a Bible.
Amen.
We're asking these men and women to stand up and fight for us and to lay their life down for us.
Mm-hmm.
What greater inspiration than to find out about the one who laid down their life for them? More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Well, as we can hear from the break, you know, what John doesn't do in height, he does in vocabulary. He's really good at his words.
There you go. Hey. We all have our gifts. We all have our gifts.
That's, I mean, it's almost like a what's it called? A tournament? I said
tournament.
Okay, I just can't do the lip, the tournament, the thing.
Kind of just like that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
Donna, wrestling. One of the
we
two.
Have so much entertainment from the program that Don and I were talking about ski masks. And Donna's going like, I knew what it was before y'all guys knew what it was. I'm thinking like, we were hoping that it was more deeper than that. I didn't realize he was talking about a ski mask. Donna's, anyway, so.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about, my goodness,
The military.
U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral William Lee.
Beautiful.
Who his stance says, you know what? I'm going to give out Bibles anyway. I'm going to give out Bibles anyway. And we're just talking about the importance of our role as Christians. I mean, like Steve said, I mean, listen, you didn't get there by accident. You know, God empowered you to be wherever you are in that place of business, if you're in leadership, if you're an employee, you know, in that neighborhood where you live, where you go to school, where you transact business. I mean, you're there because God has allowed you to be there. Acts 17, right? God has determined the exact place where we should live, right? And he's determined everything so that you can be an ambassador, a representative for him. And it's so important. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we therefore are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. But think about this. God is making his appeal through us. So an ambassador is a representative. When an ambassador from let's say, the United States is in a different country, he is the highest official, if you will, of the United States in that particular country. And so what he does, he doesn't have an agenda of his own. He's not like a you know, doing his own thing there. He is sent there by the president as a representative of the president. He's a representative of the United States, and he just interacts back with, you know, or she with our country, the United States, and then he speaks with the, you know, wherever he, whatever they're stationed at, wherever they're taking their ambassadorship, whatever country. And so, but they're the representative, and we are representatives for Christ. If you did not know, every believer, our citizenship is in heaven. This place called earth is not our home. This is a temporary assignment.
Right.
And as we live and walk and have life here, because we're going to have life for eternity, this is just a stop on the way, on the road, if you will. Our real home is in heaven. Then what we need to do is be able to represent Christ the best that we can. And it should, that should challenge us. That should cause us every day to wake up and say, how is my representation of the Lord today? How am I arriving? How am I treating others? How am I impacting others for the glory of God? And I want you to hear a testimony from an unlikely source maybe to you, but former boxing champion Iron Mike Tyson is giving an interview, and they did a documentary on his life, I believe, and in his documentary, they were asking him to go through these experiences as a boy and throughout his life, and you know, what were you thinking at this point of your life, and what happened here, and at one time in his life, he was in prison. I think he was 25 years old. He was the champion at the time and was imprisoned, and he was sent to, I believe, Indiana State Prison, and he had some interaction with the assistant warden. And I want you to hear what he had to say about the assistant warden in the prison facility that Iron Mike Tyson, former boxing heavyweight champion, listen to his words and hear what he had to say.
And so they took me to, it's about reflecting. So I went back to my old, this prison that I was locked up in Indiana. And so I met the gentleman who was the assistant warden when I was in there, when I was in prison. And he's the warden now. The warden died, so he's the warden now.
Sure.
So I was just happy to see Mr. Slavens because he was always a wonderful man. And I don't use, I'm not a Christian or anything, but this guy was a real Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, and this, when I say guy, the real Christian, the guy that really walks the walk. So I really went there. I made amends, things I may have said, things I may have did. In that particular place, and I was just so happy to be able to make the amends, and he accept my amends, and he was just as wonderful as he was when he was in there, caring about everyone there.
He was just as wonderful as he was. You think about this. This is the assistant warden, Slavens, and the fact that Mike Tyson, years later, probably in his 40s now, will remember the actual name of the assistant warden, Mr. Slavens, and the impact that Mr. Slavens had. And his comment was, I'm not a Christian, but this guy here, he was a real Christian. He was the real deal. And so what is that? What is that that people are able to recognize that Christ lives in you? See, the world's ever recognized Christ in you, the hope of glory revealed, but it's our representation. It's how we are arriving, and are we walking in the fullness of what Christ came to redeem us for? Do we have a relationship with him?
Yeah, that's huge, because it's just like, you can say one thing in your, by your words, but I think about what you said before, sometimes the only Bible that some people see is your life. And the biggest impact that we have by those around us is just by the life that we live. People see this just like, there's something different about you. You do things differently. You don't do what some people do, and you do other things that I've never seen people do. And it's just like, you know, we're talking about in a previous segment, it's just like some of the people that had the biggest impact on my life, I would see the things that they did on their quiet time, or, you know, on just their, you know, they did it on their personal time, and it just so stuck out to me. And they weren't necessarily preaching to me, but it's just like they were in their room reading a Bible on their own. And it was just like, that was like, wow, you don't see that. And it's just like, when you understand the fact that when you're just simply spending time with God and you're living out a life seeking to just grow closer to God, light stands out in darkness.
That's right. It sure does. I love what Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words.
I love that.
That's so important, because here you are, here is this inmate, you're in prison. And you have a warden that's reflecting Christ. And really, how often does an inmate have the opportunity to just, you know, hang out, if you will, with the assistant warden? And so in those times, however many they were or infrequent they were, there was something about Mr. Slavin's life that Mike Tyson was able to see for himself. Although he was not a Christian, he was able to say, now that guy, he's a real Christian. Mm. He walks the walk. There's something special in and on his life. And I think that's so important for us to take away from that, because this is what God wants of us. How is the world going to know who the Lord is if we're not walking in agreement with what God says? Which goes to show you that your witness does matter. Mm-hmm. Your witness has significant impact. I think about Dr. Miles Monroe, just recently, a minister who passed away, him and his wife, in a plane crash, and world-renowned leader, had a ministry there in the Bahamas. But I just saw that the Bahamas, the government, is going to have a national funeral for Miles Monroe. He's going to like lie in state, and just like they give other, you know, government officials, and their people are going to come from all over the country to pay their respects.
Wow.
Who does that? Why do they do that? Because they recognize that there was something special of God on Miles Monroe's life, and they wanted to honor that. Mm. And what we have the chance to do every single day is to spend time with the Lord in an abiding relationship. You may have heard us speak about that. We want to encourage you. Listen, go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and we have a free gift for you. It's a simple plan, but it's a way that you can learn, a roadmap, if you will, to having a devotional, intimate time with God, reading His Word, and learning to hear His voice for yourself. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than to have relationship with God. Mm. Think about it, the creator, the manager of the universe desires to have relationship with you. I mean, does that just, I mean, that alone, that alone should not make your year, should make your life, you know what I'm saying, the century. Just that concept alone. Even David said, who is man that you're mindful of him? Who, help me out in this. Right. And we have the choice, the opportunity every day. I mean, we all have 24 hours in a day, so we can plan ahead of time to make God a priority as believers. I'm speaking to Christians, so that we can spend time with Him, not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, but because we get to. And that's a big difference, because if you talk to a lot of people today, you know, they say, well, this is what I have to do because I'm a believer. No, no, not at all. You don't have to. You get to. We spend time with Jesus. We abide with Him. We let His Word transform our heart. And then when we walk in life, in our societies, in the seven spheres of societal influence, business, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, when we're in our spheres of influence in society, we're able to impact society because Christ is in us. We should be walking with the love of God, not so much preaching with our words, even though that is very helpful and powerful, but the greatest message we'll ever preach is the message we live with our life. I want to encourage you. This is the day. You can do it. Mm. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.